One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Live from the KCNR studios in downtown Redding, California on Market Street, it's Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. And here is your host, Connor Sutton.
Hi, it's good to be back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in to the August 18th edition of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Follow me on Twitter, at Connor Sutton. Call in 530-605-4567. A lot of stuff to get to today. High school football starts next week. Very excited about that. Jared and I will be tagging team in that whole season. Enterprise McQueen will be the week one game between out at Enterprise McQueen out of Reno. So that should be a lot of fun. That's on Friday. But a lot of things to get to today. What's back? It's going to be a new segment, real brief. And then I got my NFC North predictions. We're going to talk some fantasy football with Kenny Breedlove, who's coming in second and third segment. We're going to get you and make sure you have a plan for your draft coming up for fantasy football. And then final segment, Dan Anderson came in and co-hosted the show that I was out last week and said some things about my baseball take that I'm not happy with. So he'll be on for a segment, and we're going to yell at each other. So a lot of things going on right now. There's so many things that are back. There's this kind of, during the summer, there's always this kind of downtime in sports. We had the World Cup this year, so it kind of slowed that a little bit. But baseball and before football starts, there's just not a whole lot going on. But now, football is back. There's so much excitement. High school football, pro football, college football, and fantasy football. There's a lot going on. There's so many stories in the NFL. There's so many teams that can be good or have a chance, in my opinion, to make the playoffs. There are very, very few teams that I just expect to be bottom feeders. Every team is competing, and every team has a chance. So football is back. I can't tell you how excited I am. Obviously, preseason is still going on, and preseason football is kind of not as interesting, obviously, because it's the preseason, but it's still football, and football's back. So I'm excited. I hope you guys are, too. I know where I'm going to be spending most of my Sundays coming up here in the near future. Who else is back? Tiger Woods. Man, finished second last weekend. In the last two tournaments combined, if you combine the scores, he was the overall winner. So Tiger's playing some of the best golf we've seen in the last 10 years, so excited about that. And also what's back is baseball brawls. We've seen Dodgers and Giants get into it. We've seen a couple other teams. And when I say get into it, this is what's new about baseball brawls, is there's a lot of pushing and shoving, but nothing truly happens. Yasiel Puig threw an open hand, I guess that was a punch. I don't really know what that was. An open hand slap at Nick Hundley of the Giants. Jeez, come on, guys. If we're going to have a brawl, let's actually get into it. We haven't seen a baseball brawl that has been really, really good in a long time. And the bench is just clear way too early now, too. You know what else is back, Jared? I'm excited to tell you about this one. Fanny packs. Fanny packs are back. The dad at Disneyland look is coming back. So that's what I'm getting you for Christmas, Jared, is a fanny pack. You're welcome. Also, something that I'm excited for you, overalls. The fashion statement. I'm telling you, Jared, overalls with a fanny pack, you're going to be killing it. It's basically like a thick apron, but apparently it's coming back. But so that's what you know. You just got. Sometimes you just got to throw on the overalls, Jared. You never know. All right, so that's what's back, and obviously the main one of those is football. Now, as always, everybody's very excited about football. I'm excited about football. Jared's not as excited about football, but these teams in the NFC North have a lot of promise. So, without further ado, let's get to our NFC North predictions. All right, this was so each week I'm doing a different prediction for a different division in the NFL. I'll probably have to double up next week to catch up before the preseason or before the preseason ends. So Aaron Rodgers is back, another player who's back after injury last year with the Green Bay Packers. And I'm going to kind of go in and out of order here just because there's a lot of intermixing here between what could happen. NFC North last year, of course, the Vikings won the division. Aaron Rodgers was out with an injury, but he's back this year, but no Jordy Nelson. However, Rodgers, in my opinion, the best quarterback in the NFL. He's got a good shot to come away with an MVP this year, coming off an injury. The Packers, I'm going to have them at 10-6. Here's why. Their defense is okay. O-line a little bit above average. The addition of Jimmy Graham, who I think is going to revive. Devontae Adams on the outside. But the one thing that does worry me about the Packers on the offensive side of the football is their running game. Ty Montgomery has been hit or miss in the past. And I think because the O-line can be hit or miss as well, we've seen Rodgers get put under pressure. But I think the offense is the least of my worries. It's more of the defense. And Aaron Rodgers is going to have to overcome that for the Packers. And I have them at 10-6, winning the division over the Vikings. I know that's kind of a bit of a shock, but I think the Vikings will also make the playoffs, but however, as a wild card team, but the Packers are going to win the division. All right, Vikings, second team in the division, also at 10-6. However, I think the Packers will win the head-to-head battle. Vikings unbelievably healthy last year. I think that was one of the shocking things about Minnesota was we all knew they were going to have a good defense coming into last year, but now they're going to have a first-place schedule. They have Kirk Cousins at QB instead of Case Keenum. Is that an upgrade? I think so, but I mean, Kirk Cousins, he's kind of one of those guys. I mean, the Redskins wouldn't even give him a max deal. Didn't think he was valuable enough. So it's just kind of, is he that good? We don't know. We haven't seen him really, really show out. He's a great fantasy player, so maybe a guy you take in your fantasy draft, but I just don't think Kirk Cousins is the guy that's going to take the Vikings to the next level. I don't think this team is good enough to get to the Super Bowl again. I just don't see it. Again, they're playing in a first-place schedule, and I'm just not sold on their offense. We know all know how good their defense is, but Cousins, he's good, not great. They got Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen. Their weakness is the O-line, and that can be an issue for Kirk Cousins. Obviously, on the defensive side, they got Harrison Smith at free safety, unbelievable D-line. So the Vikings are a very good team. Eventually, they're going to be in a lot of low-scoring games. Can Kirk Cousins be the guy for Minnesota? That's the question. But I have them at 10-6, second in the division, making the wild card. All right, next up, these next two teams are kind of, I said earlier, there are teams in the NFL who are going to have shots to make the playoffs. These two teams and the Bears and the Lions, they have a shot. How good of a shot? Not good. It is what it is. So the Lions are the Lions. I mean, Matt Stafford, in my opinion, has already hit his ceiling. Weak D-line, offensive line, not great. And in my opinion, the offensive and defensive line are huge. So I just don't think Matt Stafford has the weapons. I don't think he's going to have enough time to throw in the pocket this year to be the player that everybody in Detroit wants him to be. And I just don't think it's going to happen for the Lions. I have them at 6-10. Now for the Bears. Well, I really don't know what the Bears are going to do. I'm not sold on Mitch Trubisky at all. And coming into his second year, didn't play all that well. Under 6% passing, 60% completion percentage, 77.5 passer rating, a 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions ratio. Has weapons on the perimeter, but the O-line is extremely weak. And when you have a young quarterback, having that O-line is so, so important. We've seen that issue with the Browns, unable to develop young quarterbacks because they don't have time to develop and throw in the pocket. Secondary is strong for the Bears on the defensive side of the football, but in my opinion, not good enough to get them a playoff spot. I have them at 5-11. So the Packers are going to have them winning division 10-6. Vikings, who probably have the highest ceiling with Kirk Cousins at QB and a great defense, I just don't see them being as good as they were last year. They were so healthy, and you don't see teams be as healthy in back-to-back seasons. So Packers 10-6, winning the head-to-head advantage over the Vikings, who are also going to be 10-6, and then the Lions 6-10, and the Bears 5-11. So those are my NFC North predictions. They're probably going to be wrong. But in about a month or so, we'll do where I was right and where I was wrong, and we'll tell you if I think I was right or wrong. I'll do that later, probably in the season. Coming up next, Kenny Breedlove is coming on the show. Fantasy guru and Energizer Bunny. He's got a lot of good stuff. We're going to talk all things fantasy football. That's next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Are you tired of breathing smoke day after day? Don't you wish your house had that fresh smell like after a good rain? Well, now you can get that and more. Take control of your indoor air quality now by reducing airborne pollutants and odors that can contribute to headache, fatigue, lung irritation, and allergies. It also takes away allergy triggers from particulates such as pollen, mold spores, dander, and dust. Call Aero Service today, 221-4691. And ask about their latest technology in air purification systems. They're fast, easy, and affordable to install in any new or existing AC or heating system. Call Aero Service today, 221-4691, for a free estimate. Mention this ad and receive 10% off installation of your new air purification system. Aero Service heating and air conditioning experts have been servicing Shasta County for over 40 years. Call 221-4691. That's 221-4691.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
The first responders and the firemen deserve all the credit for saving so many homes and houses. Some of them didn't get saved.
Hi, I'm Jeb Allen, owner of Palomar Construction.
Palomar Construction is working as hard as they can, trying to keep the cost at a minimum. And all the subcontractors are going to help us put people back into homes as quick as we possibly can. Palomar's cared about Redding for 30 years, and we're not going to stop now.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
It's the Shasta County Mini Maker Fair. It's the open call for makers. So, what do you make? We're celebrating engineering, arts, crafts, science, technology, and do-it-yourself. Your chance to show off your work. Everything from robotics, electronics, gaming, sewing, blacksmithing, crafters, student projects, dance performers, 3D printing, music, performers, and much more. Application deadline is August 9th for the September 15th Maker Fair. Contact makers at makerfairshasta.com or visit shastacounty.makerfair.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, our lovely producer Jared King with us, and now we're joined by fantasy guru Kenny Breedlove, who we talked earlier this week. Kenny, we're so excited about football being back. Fantasy football is here. Welcome. Thank you for coming on the show. Welcome. We're excited to have you. So let's talk all things fantasy football. We got a lot of time. I want to get people. I know you have a draft coming up. What'd you say, like an hour?
Yeah, we got it at 11 o'clock today.
So, wow, you got this is perfect time. This is like brainstorming for you. So, there are so many things that are important in the fantasy draft, but typically your first pick is probably your most valuable, I would say, because you got to make sure that you don't pick someone who is going to just destroy you. I had many times in drafts have picked a guy in the first draft, in the first round, that has basically lost me a season. So give me your player. If you had the number one overall pick, who are you taking?
I mean, I think Le'Veon Bell is the best player in the draft with what he does with receiving and rushing.
Right.
But Connor, you hit it right on the head. If you pick a running back, i.e. David Johnson, one or two last year,
yep,
first game, he's out. So if you do pick a running back early, the number one thing you got to do is you got to handcuff him. And handcuff him is getting the backup that you know is going to be in there. So you got to make sure. And if the other player, if you don't get a Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Zeke Elliott, you know, Todd Gurley, if you don't get one of those guys early, try to handcuff him in front of the other guy. That way, you're going to get a backup just in case. I know one year I had D'Angelo Williams when Le'Veon Bell went down, yep. And that ended up getting me to the Super Bowl.
That's awesome. So give me some guys you want to take early in rounds and some guys you wouldn't. I know you guys said you got your fantasy draft. I'm sure you have people listening who are probably going to scout your draft, and I might have screwed you out of a championship here because of this.
Well, you know, for the listeners, of course I'm going to give the real deal picks. So,
right. Boys,
I hope none of you are listening. But with that being said, you know, I'm in a 12-team league. Depends on if you're PPR or standard scoring format. It's kind of 50-50 these days. Most drafts are a snake draft. So, for example, today I'm picking 9. So at 9, I'm probably looking at maybe the 7th, 8th best running back or 2nd or 3rd best wide receiver.
Right.
So whoever you go with that, you probably want to go opposite. So, for example, let's say I can get someone like a Leonard Fournette or, you know, maybe Alvin Kamara falls to me at 9. That would be amazing. If I do that on the way back at pick 15, I'm probably going to go wide receiver. That way you kind of balance out your league, and then you hope later in the rounds you can kind of fill with everything else.
And how important is it for you to have a guy, especially a running back, who you know is going to get touches? So a guy like Ezekiel Elliott, who you know they build their offense around and has a good offensive line.
It's everything now in fantasy football. It used to be the old bell cow back used to be the thing. So most teams just leaned on their guy unless it was short yardage, unless it was third and long, and then they, you know, they did something where they put a wide receiver back. Well, now the NFL has gone running back by committee. As you know, running backs are not getting paid. That's why Le'Veon Bell holds out every year. That's why all these guys, because they feel like a rookie coming out of college, can go ahead and do essentially the same thing if you have a powerful offensive line, if you have a good scheme. So for me, I am absolutely looking to get one of those top 4 or 5 guys, if possible, that you know handles the load.
Do you have an overrated list or guys that you think you should not be drafting early, especially, or maybe injury prone? Like, how do you come up with that list and who is on it?
Well, first off, you don't draft anyone on the Seattle Seahawks. That's if you do that right away, then you already are going to have a successful draft. Obviously, disclaimer, I'm a 49er fan. I'm wearing a 4 Life.
Yeah, he's wearing a 49er fan. We'll talk a little bit about the 49ers and how to draft how do you draft players from your favorite team and try to be a disclaimer on that,
Well, it's been pretty easy to be a Niner fan. You don't have to draft anyone on the 49ers the last 4 years.
Right.
You know, maybe a Carlos Hyde here or there. But now, holy cow, you got Jimmy, you got wide receivers, you got you know, McKinnon, you got a little bit of everything. But is what I try to avoid is picking a quarterback early. If you pick a quarterback early and he goes down, then you're in bad shape. I.e., a running back goes early, hopefully you have his backup, hopefully you have a lot of depth. So to me, that's the number one thing I've always tried to do is I wait on a quarterback, because if you pick Aaron Rodgers and he goes down early, your season's not looking that good.
So what round are you thinking for a 12-man, as like 4th, 5th round? How late?
Yeah, normally, you know, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you know, God bless him, Chico guy, Pleasant Valley. I'm a Shasta High School man, so Aaron beat us up pretty good back in the day. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is generally the consensus number one fantasy quarterback.
Right.
I'm guessing he'll probably be 3rd round in most leagues. And then people are going to wait and kind of hold off. And then you'll start seeing, you know, a Tom Brady, obviously Deshaun Watson with everything he did last year. Doing everything. Probably 4th, 5th round.
And the reason you can take a QB later is because there's not a whole lot of difference between a guy like Aaron Rodgers and a middle-of-the-road guy. Like, we talked about Kirk Cousins when we met on Tuesday. And we said Kirk Cousins is a great fantasy quarterback. And you can get him as late maybe as the 5th round. So not only drafting a QB early can hurt you, but you can get guys not maybe as good as Aaron Rodgers fantasy-wise, but nearly as good to where you can get more value out of grabbing a running back, wide receiver, or tight end early.
Absolutely, that's the theory. Is the drop-off between number 1 and number 10 on a quarterback is not as severe as the number 1 wide receiver versus a 10 wide receiver, or a 1 RB versus a 10 RB. Someone like a Kirk Cousins, a Jimmy Garoppolo, Ben Roethlisberger, they can go off for 350, 400, and a couple touches on any week, where generally, you know, a middle-of-the-round running back is not going to generally go for 150 and 2 like a Le'Veon Bell, Zeke Elliott.
What about tight ends? I mean, this is kind of a strange thing because some offenses use them more than others. Obviously, you have Gronk. In my opinion, when I draft, I'm going to stay away from Gronk. I think he's overrated in fantasy, to be honest, and I think his name gets a lot of people to draft them early. What do you think for tight ends? Where do you take them? What are the guys you should be looking at?
Oh, a couple things. And I agree with you on Gronk. I mean, he's an animal. I mean, he does everything, but he's injury prone.
Yep.
I mean, he's always getting hurt. I mean, because he's one of those guys that, you know, Gronk likes meat. He's going to go over the middle. He's going to handle it.
Yeah.
But I think he hit it on the head with Jimmy Graham. I think Jimmy Graham, I mean, imagine this. He caught 10 touchdowns last year in an offense where Seattle didn't throw any touchdowns or even score that many that weren't Russell Wilson driven.
Yep.
He didn't have many yards, but you already saw in the first preseason game, Gronk goes over the middle, turns around, posts up like a basketball player, and Aaron Rodgers throws it where only he can get it high. I think you're going to see that a lot this year.
And I think with Rodgers being back, having a big tight end threat, which he hasn't had in a couple years, it's going to be a huge red zone threat and has the opportunity to get a lot of touchdowns. You mentioned 10 last year, and then they let him go in Seattle. All right, so what about kickers and defenses? I mentioned these on Tuesday. I love picking kickers because I just think it's, you never know. You want to pick that offense, in my opinion, that isn't able to score in the red zone. Alex Smith with the 49ers, maybe even Kirk Cousins, different guys who struggle in the red zone. When the field gets shorter, they have a tough time putting it in the end zone, and then that way you have to kick 3 points and get those points for the kicker.
No, absolutely. Someone like Greg Zuerlein, a.k.a. Greg the Leg, last year, I mean, he was outscoring RBs and wide receivers right. regularly during the week. The only problem with getting a kicker too early is, let's say you get the best kicker. You get him in the sixth round, maybe. Would it be a little early? If the next guy doesn't pick a kicker, until the ninth or tenth round, then you picked him too early.
Yeah.
So it's always that thing.
Do you wait then? Do you wait and make somebody else pick that first kicker?
You know, kickers kind of go like tight ends and defenses.
Yes.
Once somebody finally picks one,
it's
everyone gets nervous, and then people start going for it. So it is one of those things. If you feel like you've rounded out your squad pretty early and you want to get someone like Greg Zuerlein, seventh round, I don't think that's that bad of a pick. Because the Rams are going to score a lot of points.
Yep.
He kicks 50-yard field goals regularly. Most leagues get a bump for a 50-yard field goal. So someone like him, which I think is head and shoulders above the league, it might not be a bad idea.
And especially with Jared Goff, who is young, going to be maybe in his sophomore slump. I know it's his third season. But they might have trouble in the red zone, although they have Todd Gurley and things of that nature. But it's a good chance. Especially
and their defense is insane. So you figure that they're going to get a lot more offensive possessions just with all the talent they brought in on the line and, you know, in the secondary.
So let's go into the how do you stay away from players in your favorite team. Typically, you and I both agree, we love Jimmy Garoppolo. He's played, what, 6 games for the 49ers, and we're all in.
We actually call him Jimmy Jesus here in Redding, California now.
Exactly. Actually, I stopped calling him that after the porn star thing. I just didn't think it went very well.
Jimmy GQ also works now, too.
There
but you know
go.
What I mean? We're
like
going to get a couple of interviews from Jimmy.
I have talked about it. He is the most attractive quarterback I've seen in my entire life. It's unbelievable.
I will tell you what, you know, as a man who loves his wife, I have to agree with you.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
My wife, who is not a football fan, not a 49er fan. I showed her a picture of Jimmy Garoppolo. I think she's going to be rooting for the Niners this year.
That's
so
awesome.
So
that cracks me up. All right. So how do you – it's just so tough because you want to take Jimmy Garoppolo because you're your guy. And when they score for the 49ers, you're also going to get points in your fantasy team because you're watching the games, obviously. Do you stay away from them because you know you want to pick them earlier because you're thinking, oh, he's going to have a good year? I try to stay away from teams that I like because I get myself into trouble.
You absolutely got to use your head in fantasy football. You cannot go by your heart.
Yeah.
It is a double-edged sword, though, because if I'm playing someone who they have Jimmy Garoppolo, Jerick McKinnon, Marquise Goodwin, Pierre Garçon, and they beat me with those guys, then I have mixed emotions.
Yeah.
Then I don't know how I'm feeling, you know, because I'm happy for the Niners, but I'm also disappointed that I lost. So it's one of those things that, hey, as an NFL fan, you want to get, you know, maybe a guy or two off your team. Because it is, hey, fantasy football, you want to win, but it also is that rooting interest. You can root for your squad and your fantasy team at the same time. It's a win-win.
What about sleeper picks? There's a lot of late round picks can be huge for you, winning your big games and maybe even the league. So are there guys that you have on your list who you're thinking late in the rounds, if he's available, I'm getting him?
Yeah, as you know, like I said earlier, rookie running backs have been a huge trend. I mean, you've seen some of these guys go in the 6th, 7th, 8th round, i.e. Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
You know, most people didn't have him, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th round. He led the NFL in rushing. I mean, when do you see a rookie come out of college and lead the NFL? So to me, there is a couple guys you want to look at. You know, Saquon Barkley, is going to go early. But a Royce Freeman out of Denver,
okay.
I think he's going to take that job over Devontae Booker. And when he gets that job, I think he's going to run with it. I think he's going to put up 1,000 yards. Someone else like a Rashad Penny, even though I mentioned the Seattle thing, so don't be like me, pick the best available player on the board.
Yeah.
But a Rashad Penny out of San Diego State, over 2,000 yards in college, I think he's going to come in there and really solidify the running game for Seattle.
And we have, obviously, a number of big players. As Niner fans, I'm worried about Jerick McKinnon offensively. I don't know how many numbers he's going to have. how big a number he's going to put up, especially rushing. He's more of a receiving running back. But we talked about this. We think Archie Goodwin is going to be unbelievable this year. So is it tough? Do we go after Archie Goodwin? We think he's going to be the number one receiver by the end of the year over Pierre Garçon. Is that a guy you should go after?
You know, Goodwin was kind of known for his speed. He's an ex-track guy. He's an ex, you know, All-American, you know, running the 100. He was a guy that just took the top off the field, went vertical, and then let everyone else kind of go underneath. Last year, when Jimmy Garoppolo came in, Goodwin started becoming that go-to hands receiver on third down, third and short, but also has the speed. I am looking for huge things with Marquise Goodwin this year.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll talk a little bit more about the more of the strategy of fantasy football of overall, not just certain picks. We'll talk about that. We're joined by Kenny Breedlove. We'll be back on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
This is Carlin DeBott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio. On Monday, we have William Lindsay from FEMA. He's going to tell us how you can take advantage of FEMA and the programs they offer to help you recover. Also, Sandra Younger, author of The Fire Outside My Window about the San Diego Fire, and her latest book, The Comeback Formula, How to Transform Disaster into Opportunity. How do you overcome a disaster? All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Paul Zoet.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Capopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
At Powerhouse Solar, we understand that each home has unique energy needs. We custom design your solar energy system to not only meet those needs, but to allow for growth, just in case you see a pool, spa, or electric car in your future. Hi, I'm Sue Blake, co-owner of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we are experts at designing and installing quality systems utilizing SunPower Solar. We install the SunPower package because it includes the panels, built-in microinverters, racking, and monitoring. One company and a bumper-to-bumper 25-year warranty. No other solar company compares to SunPower. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the perfect system for your family, and we stand behind our work. Ground rack, roof mount, or pole mount, let us design an energy-saving solar system just right for you. Talk with one of our helpful designers for your free estimate. Call 275-5600 or go to powerhousesolar.com.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Segment three here with Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, joined by Kenny Breedlove, fantasy football guru. And we just talked about drafting this year, but I want to talk a little bit more about strategies in fantasy football as a team, not necessarily just one year, but do you have quirks or little things that you do every year going into the draft that can help you maybe take home the trophy?
I pray a lot. You know, you can do as much research. You know, I spend, like I like to say, a lot of people are like cramming right before the draft or before their fantasy draft. I feel like I'm looking at fantasy football all year long. I mean, okay, literally when the Super Bowl's over, I get depressed for about a week.
Yeah.
Because we all know we don't have football for about 5 months. So it's one of those things that you kind of always got to stay on top of it. You'll want to learn as much as you can from preseason. Number one, you don't ever want to draft someone who just got injured in preseason because then you're going to look bad. You know, we got a little Jerick McKinnon injury, although I don't think it's bad. I heard
he's supposed to be back week one, so he should be okay.
You know, I heard, but not ever seen him. But, it's one of those things, again, that you want to balance out your roster early. I mean, you got to go running back, wide receiver early. You got to get a couple of the top guys, top 10 guys at those positions, and then it's all about sleepers. Now, to me, when I'm drafting in the late rounds, I'm looking for high ceiling guys. Early, I'm looking for consistency. I'm looking for touches. I'm looking for guys that aren't going to kill me. You know, obviously, you draft early. You want those guys to do very well for you, but you got to have them do something for you. Because if they're in a running back by committee situation, or they're in a four wide receiver situation, and they're, you know, or for example, a wide receiver like Julio Jones, who had 1,000+ yards but only 2 or 3 touchdowns last year, you got to avoid those guys early. But in the late rounds, you want to go for the high ceiling guys. So, you know, then I'm looking at guys. For example, even though Carson Wentz was hurt last year, I don't see him going necessarily in the top 8, 9, 10 picks. Carson Wentz, when he was healthy, he ran the ball, threw the ball, he did a little bit of everything, and the Eagles were scoring, you know, 28, 30 points a game.
Yeah, one of the top offenses in the league.
Oh, man, I absolutely love someone like him. And again, I kind of talked about Marquise Goodwin, but right. I mean, he's not going to go in the top 15 generally. I think he's going to be a top 5, 6, 7 guy. I really do.
What about with... Do you have different strategies? You're in a 12-man league, as you mentioned. Are there different strategies if you have an 8, a 10, a 12-man league? Do you draft differently? Do you take things on differently?
Oh, absolutely. If you're in a 12-man league, by the time you get to the late rounds, they're slim pickings. So the people that really in a deep league, if you do your research, that's where the drafts are won. You know, you're not going to win by picking the best one or two guys. One or two guys are not going to carry your team to win a title. You got to have eight, nine guys doing the business. So late, you got to get those guys that are going to produce for your team, and especially in a deep league.
How important is the waiver wire coming the next couple of weeks right after the draft? I mean, it's got to be huge, but picking up free agents and getting them on your team, maybe dropping guys you drafted late, you got to stay on top of it. I mean, how important is that?
I've never seen a guy draft his first 9 players, and those 9 players were in the Super Bowl winning a title for him. You have to absolutely get waiver wire picks. You got to pick up guys that you didn't know of. You know, a couple, there's, again, running backs. You know, these rookie running backs, maybe the 8th, 9th, 10th guy, undrafted guy, all of a sudden there's an injury. Next thing you know, he's behind a good offensive line. He's a top 10 RB.
Yeah, and absolutely. And we talked about this a little bit, but is there a way you can assess quarterbacks to decide if this guy is worth getting maybe a little bit early? Obviously, you got Aaron Rodgers. You have your top QBs. But middle of the road-wise, you got Cam Newtons who can run and throw. Do you try to go after QBs who not only are good in the pocket, but they can also run a little bit?
If any time you can get a rushing touchdown or, you know, 20, 30 yards out of your quarterback rushing, I mean, that's like 50, 60 passing yards, or one rushing touchdown is like 2 passing touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So anytime you can get a running quarterback, that's huge.
Does that scare you, though, because when they run, they're usually a little more injury prone?
It does, but, you know, for example, someone like a Russ Wilson, I mean, he runs for his life every single Sunday, and he never gets hurt.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And then you get a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, who's 270 pounds, and he could stub his toe and be out, so... trying to pick the injury deals, although he'll tell you at a press conference he's the toughest man alive.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, of course.
Big Ben, of course. But it's hard to go around injuries. So when it comes to quarterbacks, if you're not getting a top 3-4 guy, it's all about the scheme. To me, I look for more of the team philosophy and how much they're going to be throwing the ball. And if they have a quality defense, they're going to get more possessions. It's all about scoring points in the NFL, and then quarterbacks normally are the catalyst behind that.
We talked a little bit about this off the air, but this is something that you mentioned I think is great. I think now we need to start implementing in fantasy football the guy who becomes last. What if he gets last place, you get a punishment. If you stop paying attention to the league, whatever it is, you get last place. We need to have a punishment. You had a couple great ones in mind, maybe wear a ridiculous outfit, maybe a jersey from a least favorite team. I mentioned I once had to almost wear a Robert Horry jersey, which would have burned my skin.
Yes.
Don't you think that's important? That's a good way to keep people involved, and it's a ton of fun.
100%, because, you know, in fantasy, when you're in week 9 or 10, as soon as you know you're not going to make the playoffs, you're kind of like not going for free agents. You're kind of, you don't want to say you're giving up because you still have a lot of pride, head-to-head matchups and everything. But when you try to avoid being last, everyone is in till the last second. So I've loved seeing the battle between the, you know, last two or three guys. And absolutely, the best way to get your friends is, number one, to put on a jersey of their most hated team, their rival, or the obvious one is make them dress like a girl.
Yeah, that's awesome. Rompers, the new thing. I don't know. Jared, you know, right? You've worn one of those before, right? A romper? No? Oh, he looks... You know what that is? Okay. I would be shocked if you didn't have one of those in your closet with the fanny pack. All right, so... God, there's just so many things to talk about fantasy football-wise. What about defenses? We've kind of talked about it a little bit with kickers, but they're kind of similar to kickers where they're just wild cards. Where do you see... Do you go after certain defenses, teams that can maybe get you a pick six here and there, get fumbles? Do you go after one of the top defenses? But, well, I mean, what do you look at
with
that?
I think in the past, I absolutely used to go for one of the top three defenses. And just the way the NFL is now, I mean, in defense... When you're a linebacker, you're a safety, you almost can't even hit the guy. You got to hug him almost now. I mean, I'm predicting this is going to be the highest scoring offensive output in the history of the NFL this year because of all the rules, all the spearing. You can't even lower your head anymore. So defense-wise, I'm not going to go for him early this year. I feel like there's not just a standout. You know, back in the day, it was everyone knew, you know, the Seattle Seahawks defense was unbelievable. Pittsburgh had an unbelievable defense. You know, some of these vaunted teams, their philosophies that always did well. Now there's going to be scoring that's going to be so high. I would not waste a pick on a defense early. Now, necessarily, you don't want to maybe wait too long. However, same thing on the waiver wire. It's more about matchups. So for a defense, it's not necessarily how good they are. It's how bad is the offense they're playing. So you kind of look for matchups on defense.
So could you, for instance, maybe drop defenses every week and just kind of pick whoever you have open, or is that just a bad strategy? Because you want to have... Your running backs, wide receivers, you don't have to drop them.
It's a brilliant strategy. In fact, a lot of players in my league, successful players in my league, have been doing that over the last couple of years. They literally don't even care what defense is on their roster when they draft. Of course, you got to have one.
Yeah.
But rarely. Now, if you pick one that's just quality, they've got a weak schedule, you want to keep them, and then you kind of rotate other defenses in and out based on matchups. But, I mean, a defense, you know, it can put you over the top because they can score a lot of points.
I feel terrible bringing you on because I know you got your draft, and I feel like you're giving away all your strategy to your buddies coming up. But is there a guy that nobody's heard of and that nobody thinks is going to be able to do anything and could be, if somebody wants to win their league late in a late round, can they pick a guy who will give them the league? Are those guys out there, or it's just this year you don't even know? It's just, I mean, it's always a chance, but...
Connor, I cannot believe you're doing this to me right now and making me tell my league who is going to help them win the draft. But I'll tell you what, someone that I truly believe in, he's a little banged up right now. He's a rookie. We're going to go here with Sonny Michel.
Okay.
The stud running back. Okay. Even though he split with Nick Chubb last year.
Yeah.
He is an absolute workhorse. He catches the ball out of the backfield. He's kind of that zone kind of runner, which what New England kind of likes to run with the Niners, kind of that same blocking scheme. I believe that when he gets healthy, and they, because, you know, New England's always been this, you never know what the hood's going to do.
Right.
You never know who he's going to put in. I mean, one week you could have a running back for New England get 100 yards, and the next week he won't even get a carry because he could be in Belichick's doghouse. I look to Sonny Michel. This is the earliest they've drafted a running back, beginning a second round, earliest I've ever seen New England draft a running back. I'm looking for big things from Sonny Michel this year.
So I hope one of these questions that I've asked you, give me a fake answer to kind of throw your buddies out. But I really appreciate you coming on the show. We'll definitely have you on again soon. But and good luck in your fantasy draft.
Yes, thank you, man. I appreciate having me in. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, maybe after the season gets going, we can see how your picks are doing and see probably if anything not. I said was worth any merit as well.
Exactly. Probably not. All right, we'll be back. Dan Anderson said some things last week on the show that I was not happy about. He's coming in, and we are going to get into it about baseball. That's next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
This is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Segment 4, Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. My thanks to Kenny Breedlo for coming in and giving us some really, really good takes on fantasy football. As a guy who isn't as into fantasy football as Kenny is, he just oozes energy, especially when he's talking about something that he's into. Seriously, he's one of the most energized people I've ever met, and a ton of fun to have on the show. So glad he's here, and hope you learned something that you can use in your fantasy draft, hopefully in the next couple weeks or so. Next week, hopefully we'll have Matthew Brandon on, Record Searchlight writer, who can talk a little about high school football. Again, I'll be at the Enterprise McQueen game coming up Friday in McQueen out of Reno, and I'll be on Carl and Linda's show on Friday to talk a little bit about that game. All right, so last week, Dan Anderson co-hosted my show with Joseph Van Dyke, who's here. Dan was supposed to be here today, but evidently forgot, and I think it's just because he's scared of what I'm going to say to this. He did not like my take about baseball and how I am worried about the future of it. And I think he kind of took it a little bit differently than how I meant it to be taken, is that baseball is losing the younger crowd now, which means they're going to struggle later. Their numbers are fine now, and that's what I was trying to explain. But the big number that he did not mention last week, and I was upset about, because it was the most important number that I mentioned. 3 minutes and 45 seconds between ball and play. That's the biggest problem. But I'm just worried about baseball. He's not here to defend himself. Joseph, you were here as a witness. And you play a little bit devil's advocate for me. Do you? I feel like baseball is great right now. It's doing fine. The numbers are a little bit down here and there. I just fear because of the way technology has changed our society and we're so instant and everything needs to happen now, baseball is kind of at the opposite side of that, that can possibly hurt baseball with the younger crowd.
I see what you're going for there. And yeah, like you said, I was here last week and Dan
crushed me.
Dan went on you a little bit. It was a
and now he's not even
onslaught.
Here. I gave him a chance to come in and we were going to go at it, and I don't know what he's doing, but he's not here. So
he was kind of excited last week. You weren't here. He was throwing haymakers, and maybe he just wants to see what you've got for him. Maybe he's at home listening ready with a bowl of popcorn. He just wants to see what you have for him.
Well, I just don't understand where he doesn't. The reason why he's not panicked is because he's a Red Sox fan. He's thinking, oh, every game is great. It's because they're winning every game. A lot of teams aren't very good, and it's just you go to a Marlins game, there's nobody there. What are you thinking, Dan? I don't understand. Just because the Red Sox are doing well doesn't mean the rest of Major League Baseball is doing well. The numbers are up in the postseason, but the regular season, because there's so many games, that's what's the problem a little bit in the NBA. The regular season doesn't matter. Guess what? The regular season doesn't matter in the Major League Baseball either. 162 games. Oh, I missed a game on a Thursday night. Ah, it's no big deal. They'll play again tomorrow night. There's 161 more I can hit. It's just not... There's no chance that... people are just not watching as much baseball. They're not paying as much attention. I pay attention just on the ESPN updates on my phone. I mean, I can see if the Giants won. If it's close, they tell me in the seventh inning, that's when I watch. Is that the millennial way of watching baseball? Maybe it is, but it's the way a lot of people are doing it.
And with the uptake of social media and everything, it's super easy to just go on, follow the Giants on Twitter, follow them on Instagram. You'll see every little piece of action that you wait 3 hours for in a game.
We're down 6-1 in the fifth inning. Oh, well, guess what? I'm not paying attention anymore. It's just that's the way baseball is changing. Because I shouldn't say baseball is changing. I should say social media is changing the way people watch baseball and pay attention to baseball. So the same amount of people might be fans, but less people are tuning in. Now, you could say that that's not the case because TV numbers are up. Well, give it a couple more years, and social media becomes more and more prevalent in society. It feels like it already is huge. It's going to get bigger, I think. And as it does, things like baseball, the slower sports, are going to struggle. Soccer is more action-packed. I know there's less scoring. The NHL and hockey is going to pick up, too. So you got these other sports who are right on your tail. And the problem is what Dan did not understand, what I was trying to say a couple weeks ago when I first brought this up, is that when people aren't watching baseball when they're young, they start to watch other sports, soccer and NHL, and then that becomes the sport that that family. So, for instance, say your dad wanted you to watch hockey growing up.
You
wouldn't have watched baseball. You're going to teach your kid. Now you're a hockey fan. I watch basketball, baseball, football because of whoever introduced me to those sports. So it's almost family-wide. If your family starts to watch NHL instead of baseball, guess what? It's going to kind of turn into a constant thing. It's not going to really change the other way. So that's a little bit of the problem I see. I just don't I worry that that's going to cause problems for baseball. And again, not now. Maybe 10 to 15 years when they really start to lose the market share of viewers.
And who knows where technology is going to be in 10,
right.
10 years. Not even to tune into a baseball game to see everything. And that's kind of what we're seeing now.
Yeah, I mean, and here's radio back in the day in the 70s and 80s was, for baseball, was huge. And that was the big live games on the radio. Listen to whoever it was. Vince Scully's the main one who's still around. So many different guys who broadcast the games on the radio. And now it's television. There's going to be ways where you can just watch clips. You can watch them on your phone now. So there's technology is changing. It's changing the way people are watching baseball and paying attention to baseball. And the problem is now people are watching it less. And they have to be aware of that. And I think new commissioner Rob Manfred has done a really good job of noticing that. And that's why they're trying to make these changes now. However, Bud Selig did not, and that's one of the problems with that they had. They were on the outer edge of this technology, I would say technology outburst. And another thing is with the electronic strike zone, there's going to be a little more things. And I like umpires. I like to see when guys get upset at umpires for balls and strikes in different plays because that's more fun to me. I like when guys get ejected. That's entertaining. Now even the benches clearing brawls are boring. I mean, come on. It's like watching a Floyd Mayweather fight. A whole lot of dodging and no punching. It's just, yeah, the future is where the panic is for baseball. And Dan's not here to defend himself, so we're just going to kind of keep going at him. I don't care, Dan, the Red Sox are doing well. I don't care. Only you and Red Sox fans care. That's about it. You go to any sports city with multiple sports, they're not talking baseball. It's prime baseball season as of 2 weeks ago. I mean, football season's back, so that's taken over. But people still weren't talking baseball. You think they were talking about the Red Sox in mid-July? I think they were talking about the Celtics a little bit, too. I mean, that's the problem, is the off-seasons for these other sports, NFL and NBA, have become dominating the main media, and so baseball has become irrelevant in their own season. So call me when the postseason starts. I'll be paying attention then, but it's just impossible to follow all 162 games. Who has time for that? I mean, it's just impossible. So, anyway, so Dan's not here, but I would have loved to yell at him in person, but he's not here. So Joseph Van Dyke is here instead. A lot of good things on the show today. We had what's back, obviously football being back. Tiger is back, and there's nothing better than seeing Tiger in that red shirt on a Sunday. I mean, truly in golf, it's going to help. And if Tiger can start playing like the Tiger we want him to be, I think, and I speak for America when I say that, I think that golf will have a big resurgence because it's right now golf's been kind of a dying game, not only in the pros, but a lot of people aren't playing as much golf. A lot of golf courses are having to close, and there's nothing like being out on a golf course early in the morning, 6 a.m. for your tee time. I mean, so hopefully Tiger does well in that.
I was confused last week. I went on your show, and Dan and I did a segment, and I said Tiger will never win another major.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next day, I get all these updates on my phone. Tiger's in second. Tiger's in the top five. Tiger can win it. And I was nervous.
Koepka played unbelievable.
Yeah.
But Tiger also played extremely, extremely well. This is the best we've seen him play since he was at his peak.
Yeah.
So in the last, I don't know, what, 6-7 years? This, maybe even more than that, 8-10. This is the best we've seen him play. This is his best stretch. However, we do have to wait a little while to see him play in a major again. But that's right. Tiger's back. I'm excited. He's just the most entertaining player in golf. Jordan Spieth is, there's just nobody like Tiger. On a Sunday, you're not paying attention to what Jordan Spieth is doing. On a Sunday, you're paying attention to what Tiger's doing. So, excited that Tiger is back. Obviously, football back. And a lot of good stuff on the show today. My thanks to Kenny Brela for coming on the show, talking to us about fantasy football. He's got his draft coming up in a couple hours, so good luck to him. And I really worry about him because his buddies he's drafting with probably just got a great insight on who he's going to draft. So, unfortunately for him, hopefully he can overcome that. And I hope for his sake he gave us a couple of incorrect calls so he can throw everybody off in his league. But
if that sleeper for the Patriots was really his sleeper and he goes in the 8th, 9th,
yeah.
I think you got to take Kenny out to dinner or something.
Oh, yeah.
You owe him big time if that guy goes early.
Hopefully I didn't lose his league. All right. Well, thanks, Joseph Van Dyke, for coming in, subbing in for Dan Anderson, who is not here. Dan, you just got to jump on the Baseball's in Trouble board. It's not going to happen now. It's going to happen in 5 to 6 years. Great. Congratulations to Red Sox. Might be playing great. Nobody cares about everybody in Boston. All right. We'll be back next week. Enterprise McQueen coming up Friday. Jared King, also thank you for being here as always. And I really will. I'm going to get you a fanny pack. So I hope you – would you – hang on, Jared. Would you wear it? Honestly. Would you wear it? A fanny pack?
No.
Not at all? He says no. I mean, I don't know, Jared. I feel like you're a fanny pack guy.
I wouldn't ever wear a fanny pack.
Why?
Because it looks silly.
I don't think they look silly. I mean, they look like a dad in Disneyland. That's what it always reminds me of.
And then I looked up, what did you call that?
Oh, a romper.
I looked up a romper.
I saw you. give me a look.
Yeah.
No?
No.
Not feeling it?
All right. And then the two combined, that's like a super no.
Oh, man. All right, well, we'll be back next week. This has been Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding.